Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study today is entitled, Straightway. And this is our opening take. The Bible says they straightway left their nets. How did they leave their nets? They did it straightway. There was no perceptible duration of time between the command of Jesus and the response of the disciples. So immediately, promptly, directly, swiftly, without hesitation, on the spot, at once, then and there, at the master's call, they followed him straightway. It was one of the marks of our Savior's authority and power that when he commanded, men obeyed. You will remember, you'll recall the many instances in which persons and even non-person things instantly obeyed when Christ gave the word of command. Satan and legions of demons gave way to the command of Christ. Diseases of every kind, what did they do? They gave way to the command of Christ. Even the wind and the waves, inanimate things, which usually seem to be lawless and wild, always gave heed to the law which issued from his lips. When he spoke, it was done, for his word was with power. And so the call of Christ came to some honest, hardworking fishermen, and when Peter and Andrew and James and John heard the call, their attitude and response was simple and swift. What are we standing here for? Let's go. And off they went, not in a hesitant or crooked or roundabout way, but what? Straightway. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, as we take time now to consider the sacred scriptures in our worship, we invite your Holy Spirit, which is in this place, to walk up and down the aisles of the church. And Lord, please grant us your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So open your Bibles with me to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Matthew chapter 4. And we wish to begin our reading today with verse number 12. So we're in Matthew chapter 4. Beginning with verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, what did they see? They saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? It is at hand. And was the kingdom of heaven at hand? Absolutely. The Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind, was then and there on the spot. And the Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. No longer fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And they, my versions, King James, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they, how did they respond? Immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Amen. So our study today is entitled Straightway. The French theologian and pastor John Calvin was one of the great leaders of the Protestant Reformation. He was born in France and he died in Geneva, Switzerland. And at a church in Geneva and on many of his books and writings, one finds two slogans that summed up his life and his works. The first slogan was, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That was the first slogan. He endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. How many of you would like to have that slogan as part of your life? The second slogan, prompt and sincere in the work of the Lord. I like both of these slogans, and my prayer is that both of these may be ours, as they were with the Reformer. And I trust that all of us here today are sincere in our belief and commitment to Jesus. But are we as prompt as we are sincere when it comes to certain commitments and tasks for God? Do we go promptly and straightway? Do we follow Christ's call straightway? Do we obey his commands when we come to the understanding of what his will is? Do we follow and obey at that time? Do we believe straightway? Do we accept his love, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his spirit, his power straightway? In the business world, people like a man who is prompt with his payments. And upon when they can depend to do a task, when the task needs to be done. And it is just as true, and even more so, in the area of spiritual things. When Peter and Andrew and James and John received the call of Christ, their response was what? With Peter and Andrew, straightway. With James and John, immediately. I wonder what Zebedee thought. Have you ever thought about that? You know, Jesus has already been preaching in Galilee. When you read the previous chapter, chapter 3 of Matthew, we get the picture of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, and people came out in droves to hear his preaching. And also in Matthew chapter 3, we see the picture of John baptizing people. And Jesus comes down the banks of the Jordan one day, and John sees him. And what did John say? He got everybody's attention, and he pointed to Jesus who was walking down the pathway down towards the river, and he said, behold, what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And all those people look at this humble man from Nazareth, and they say, he is the Son of God. He is the promised seed. He is the Messiah that our forefathers and we have been looking for hundreds and hundreds of years. John pointed him out and said, He is the one. It's not me. He must what? Increase, and I must decrease. He is the Lamb of God. And so Jesus is baptized. He spends time in the wilderness, and the devil comes walking his way and tries to get him to go off paths, God's plan and God's pathway. And, you know, it's good for us to remember that when Jesus and the devil went toe-to-toe in the wilderness after his baptism, that the devil lost at every point of contact. Jesus is victor how often? Every time. And to remember what his armor was when the devil came to him and tempted him to change those stones into bread, what did Jesus say? Yeah, he pulled out his weapon. What was his weapon? Scripture. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil came back for round number two, and maybe Jesus has a new weapon in his armor to use. But what does he do? Pulls out the same sword. And he quotes, and he just simply says, it is written. A third time, what was Jesus' response? It is written. And after that, he hears that John the Baptist is put in prison. And the Bible simply says he starts going all over Galilee, preaching the everlasting gospel, which says, by the way, when you read John's preaching of the gospel, it says that John preached repentance. And when Jesus comes on the scene, is it a different message? No. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so Jesus had been preaching. Now he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he stops by the ship of Zebedee. In your mind's eye, picture that. Have you ever thought what Zebedee did at that point? The Bible doesn't say, you know, that he halted the progress or the call. The Bible says that he was mending the nets in his ship with his boys. Jesus stopped by and looked at James and John, said, James and John, follow me. And what did James and John do? Immediately followed Jesus. I wonder what Zebedee thought about all that. In the text, you can read through the gospel stories on this. None of the stories even begin to suggest that he tried to halt the progress, which means that Zebedee what? Supported the call. And he did it immediately. Yeah. I wonder what Zebedee thought. You know, I can see him looking at his boys. His boys are standing up there. Jesus has called them. They have heard of his preaching. They know that he is called the Messiah. And he stops and says, boys, James and John, follow me. And I can imagine James and John looking over at their dad and their dad looking at his boys, just giving them the nod. You know, don't worry, I got the nets. You follow Jesus. I could see Jesus and James and John going up over the brow of the hill. And when they get to the brow of the hill, they're starting to go down. I can see maybe Jesus pausing and looking back at Zebedee, who's standing in the boat, watching his sons following the Lamb of God. I can see Jesus giving Zebedee a nod. And Zebedee sitting down, starting to mend his nets again. You can see his face that has been bronzed by the sun. Skin is wrinkled by the wind and the years. And I can see a tear trickling down his cheeks as he says, praise God, my boys are following the Lamb. And the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, we are to do it with what? All our might. And the do it part of that should be done when? Straightway, at once. You know, when things need to get done in life, I've noticed in my life, what about you? I've noticed that when things have to get done, there's basically two times. There's the now and there's the later. So I got a question for you. Which one usually works better? Later. I don't think that's the thought of what we're talking about. Yeah. Usually later does not work better. So question, have you ever been late for something? How did that work out? Did it go better? Usually when I've been late, you know, you start the rush, and when you start the rush, at least for me, when I start the rush, that's usually when mistakes happen. And then the stress level, what happens to our stress level? Stress level goes up. And when the stress level goes up, what does our blood pressure do? Yeah, it usually goes up with it. And so the question simply is, yeah, so when we become cognizant of something that needs to take place, we can either say, yeah, okay, we better get to it, and we get to it, or maybe at times there is a better time, maybe a little bit later. But for most things, I have learned, what about you, that it's best to do it when it gets to you. I think I've mentioned I've spent, when I was in college, 83-84 school year, spent a year in Jakarta, Indonesia. And one of our classes, we were helping out one of the students with some work at their place. So we decided the whole class was going to help out. So we decided to meet at the school on a Sunday morning. We decided we're going to meet at 9 o'clock. And so I got there with the bus. I was the bus driver. I got there about 20 minutes to 9. And at 9 o'clock, guess how many people were there? And so about 9:15, 9:20, zero. At 11 o'clock, 2 hours later, people started arriving. And so the first student that arrived, her name was Diana, and, you know, I walked up to her, and I have to admit, I was a little miffed, you know, because I had gotten up pretty early, did the pre-trip inspection on the bus, and driving in Jakarta traffic was a nightmare. And so I get there, you know, in good time, and so I wasn't real happy about sitting there for 2 hours not doing anything. I said, why are these guys so late? And so Deanna showed up. She was the first one. And I asked her, I said, hey, what's up? And she could tell I was a little bit on the edge. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, did I get the wrong time? You know, we're going to meet here at 9 o'clock. And, you know, it's a little after 11 now. And she said, oh, no, you had the right time. I was like, so what happened? And she says, oh, she said, you know, they'll come. And she used an Indonesian word. She said, oh, Mr. Mike, don't worry about it. It's jam karet, jam karet. I said, what is jam karet? And she said, oh, she interpreted it for me. She said, jam karet is rubber time. I said, rubber time? What's that? She says, well, time stretches. That's how she described it to me. Time stretches. So I asked her, I said, well, does it stretch that much? And she said, yeah, that's just the way it is. That's the way their culture works. And so I don't know if this idea of straightway should be jumped, cut it, and stretch. But all I'm saying is, if God's will, if his task gets to you, I found out most of the time it's best just to kind of get on board when the train gets there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when Jesus came to James and John, he said, follow me. And the Bible simply says, with Peter and Andrew, straightway. With James and John, immediately. Now is better than later. A long time ago, Jane and I flew to the Philippines, and we were flying out of SeaTac Airport the day before we got to my sister's house, spent the night there. And I asked my sister, well, she asked me, what time do you want to get to the airport? And I was figuring, well, you get to the airport a couple of hours early, and that's plenty of time. And I grew up around the SeaTac airport. And when I was a young man in junior high and high school, some of my buddies and I, when we got our licenses, sometimes for a good time, we went to the airport. And you might think, well, that doesn't sound much like a good time, but the SeaTac airport is a cool airport because it has these underground trains that take you to the different concourses and stuff. And so, you know, this is obviously back in the day when security wasn't as tight as what it is now. And so we would just go to, you know, one of the airline places and divide up. And we would stand next to a family that had kids, you know, about our age. If we didn't see that, it didn't work very well. But, you know, things, luggage was checked in, and we'd just go walking off with the family. We'd get into the part of the airport where they go off the different concourses, and we took it from there. And we would ride the trains around to the different concourses. And it was just really cool. It was a lot of fun. You got to, trains went pretty fast. And anyway, we just thought that was a neat thing. So I figured, I know the SeaTac airport well. We'll get there a couple hours early and we'll be, you know, we'll be good to go. And so my sister Lori, she said, yeah, that sounds about good. And so we get to the airport. We were like 2 hours and 10 minutes before our flight was to take off. And I said, yeah, this is perfect. But when we walked into the airport, we immediately heard our names being called over the intercom system. You know, Mr. Mike and Jane Lambert, please come to the desk immediately. And that was just going around and around. And I'm looking at Jane going, you know, what's going on? You know, we're good to go. And so I went to one of the attendants and I said, hi, I'm Mike Lambert. This is my wife, Jane. And they said, you need to come with me. And we're just getting in line ready to wait. And they were like, no, you're late. So have you ever been late to something? Oh, the blood pressure went up at that time. Went to the desk. The lady at the counter there, she asked for our passports. We gave our passports, and I think she scolded us a little bit that we should, for international flights, we needed to be there at least 3 hours ahead of time. And after we were checked in, somebody grabbed us and took us on a cart, and we went ripping to one of the places where we got to ride in the underground system there. We got to our spot. When we checked in at the China Airlines counter at the gate where we were supposed to be, the person there gave me a short lecture on international flights. And so we did not get there straight away, and they didn't like it very well. And I had to do all this apologizing thing. Well, straight way, I think, is better than the opposite. Straight way is a good slogan for the Christian. Pull out your bulletin there. On the inside flap of the bulletin, we have a quote there from Gospel Workers. I found this quote an interesting quote. I was reading out of Gospel Workers not too long ago. By the way, good book. One of the better books that you can read outside the Bible. Notice the statement there. This is from the book Gospel Workers, page 133. Notice it says, the cause of God demands men who can see quickly. How are we supposed to see? Yeah, quickly and act instantaneously at the right time and with power. If you wait to measure every difficulty and balance every perplexity you meet, you will do how much? But little. You will have obstacles and difficulties to encounter at every turn, and you must, with firm purpose, decide to conquer them, or they will do what? Conquer you. And so the counsel here, I see, is really, it's in two parts. Number one, the opening line there, the cause of God demands men who can see quickly and act instantaneously. And I would like to suggest that we would not be able to act instantaneously if we do not see quickly. Does that make sense? I've seen some situations where something happens and people just instantaneously jump in without seeing the situation. But I'd like to suggest that the way to see quickly and then be able to then respond straightway, instantaneously, I think there's only one way we can do that, especially when it comes to the things of God. Only one way. And that is through the born again experience. To accept Christ as our Savior and to trust Him and obey Him as our Lord. So when Christ's call comes to you, when He says, follow me, when He says, believe in me, when is the best time to do that? Now, straightway, when you are called to believe, do it straightway. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, what are we supposed to do with our sin? 1 John 1:9 says we are to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, acknowledge our sin, acknowledge our guilt, and say we're sorry, what's the Bible promise? He will forgive us and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. So when the Holy Spirit convicts you to confess, repent, how should we do it? Straightway. If we're convicted now and say, well, I'll think about it, what usually happens? Yeah, it doesn't happen now. And we put it off till tomorrow or next week or next month, and by then the opportunity is past. The best time to respond is when the Holy Spirit gets to you. When you are called to obey God, to obey His commandments. When you are called to be baptized, it's best to do it straightway. When you understand the importance of prayer, how are we to pray? Straightway. When we understand the importance of Bible study, when we understand the importance of obedience, when we understand the importance of joining God's remnant church or serving Him and being a blessing in the community, or sharing the everlasting gospel, the great story of what Christ has done with us. When it comes to these things, when these things get to you, it's best to get on board. You don't want to miss the opportunity. Our mission is clear in this great Advent movement. It's been clear ever since Jesus gave it to His disciples in the first place. Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. At the end of His instruction with those disciples, which was around 3.5 years, He then told them, He says, I will give you my Spirit, and I want you to share this gospel to how many nations and kindreds and tongues and people? To all of them. You look up that word gospel, the word in the Greek language is euangelion, which simply means good news. The story of what Christ has done for us is good news. And the story of what He will do for us and what He is doing for us right now in the heavenly sanctuary, in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary at this time, all of that is part of the gospel story that He asks us to share. And when you know in your heart of hearts and when I know in my heart, when God's will gets to us, that's the best. When Jesus says to James and John, follow me, what did they do? They left Him. Zebedee's standing there on the boat, and He's just giving his boys a nod. You know? Jesus gives him, that's the way I take it, Jesus gives him a nod back. And Zebedee sits down praising God that his boys are willing to follow the Lamb right when the Lamb got to them. I have seen God work like this for many, many years. God has done work in my life. I was mentioning to someone not too long ago, I think I was mentioning to someone just this past week, if you guys knew half the stuff that I was involved with growing up, you'd throw me out the back window of the church here. Yeah, those bottom windows open up. I praise God for what He has done. And when He has come, and God's timing is always perfect, He's come, and at that moment, He's worked in my life. And His work was right then. It wasn't God stepping in and said, I know Lambert needs some help right now, but I'm going to help him later on. Just let him kind of struggle with this a little bit more. God's not like that. And when He comes to us, you know, offering all His blessings, what should our response be? Yeah. Oh, let's have it be straightway. Let's not You know, anything more than that is going to cause some trouble. I had a situation this week. I was in a dining hall, a little restaurant area downtown, just finished some Bible studies with a group of people at Evergreen Commons. And I was visiting with about a dozen of this group, and we kind of had a second Bible study from the first Bible study. And that didn't go too long. By the way, we've had some second Bible studies that lasted another 45 minutes. You know, but, you know, when the need comes, what should we be ready to do? Yeah, respond right there and then. So visited for a little while. They had a couple Bible questions. And, you know, the best time to answer the Bible questions is when the questions come. So I sat down at the table. We chatted for a short while, opened up the Word of God again, did the best we could to answer their questions. And then we kind of chatted about some other things. And they asked me, Pastor, have you gone to one of the tulip festivals yet? I said, yeah, I went to it last year. It was pretty cool. And so we talked about the tulip time coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And that was nice. And I greeted them. I went to walk away. Oh, before I walked away, I told them, I said, if you guys want to see some real tulips, I said, go online and Google Skagit Valley. State of Washington. Any of you know about the Skagit Valley? I hear some of you chuckling over here. Yeah. I said, Google Skagit Valley in the state of Washington. I mean, there are acres and acres of tulips and beautiful flowers in the Skagit Valley that sits at the base of the Cascade Mountains. So I just told him, I said, yeah, you want to see some tulips? Go to the Skagit Valley or just kind of Google it. I said, look at the pictures. And one lady said, oh, that's a good idea. We like big fields of flowers and things. So I left, and as I left, there was a gentleman over at another table sitting by himself. And he, as I was walking by, he said, it was nice because he called me young man. He said, young man, that caught my attention. And he was looking at me. And so he said, have a seat. Now, I was needing to get to the church office here, but when stuff gets to you, when's the best time to handle it? Yeah, right then. So I accepted his offer, and I sat down, and he said, I heard you say the Skagit Valley. I said, yeah. I said, do you know the Skagit Valley? He said, I grew up there, right off the Skagit River there. It comes out of the Cascade Mountains, flows through what's called the Skagit Valley. I thought, this is cool. And I was thinking to myself, divine appointment. And so he asked me what I was doing there. And I said, well, I teach a Bible class here. And right now we're going through the book of Nehemiah. So I told him, this is what we're doing. We just finished chapter 5. We're heading on into chapter 6. And so he made the comment. He said, you know what? I don't think God loves me. Oh. Yeah. So you know what's really cool about this? You know, this week, I don't know about all of you, but I had a really busy week this week. Got a lot accomplished, so I praise the Lord for that. But of all the things that were done this week, there were 4 times that were the highest time. And all 4 times, you know what I had the privilege to do? I had the privilege of pointing someone to Jesus. And I used one text all 4 times. And the one text worked all 4 times. I pulled out, what sword did we pull out? John 3:16. You say, oh, come on, John 3:16. We learned that when we were kids. Of course we did. There's a reason why we learned that one when we were kids. Did you know that we're told that if that were the only text that a person had, it would be enough to guide the soul? So I said, I don't think God loves me. Well, how are you going to grab my Bible out of my backpack? Open John 3:16. I said, here, read that right there. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I asked him, I said, are your feet planted on planet Earth right now? He said, well, yeah, I think so. I said, well, that's what it looks like to me. That means that God loves you. God loves me. I said, hey, That's why I asked him, I said, why don't you think God loves you? So we had a nice chat. Oh, let me tell you something. Those are high moments. Four times this week, I got to meet with people. And all four times, shared with them the Bible. Shared with them the Word of God. In those particular situations, they were kind of short moments. And when they're the short moments when people are doubting, what's our task? Yeah, let's not wait. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's go right to the Word. Say, you know what? In those cases, God loves you, for God so loved the world. Everything is based upon that. And then when other things come, what? We open God's Word, and straightway, what do? Share the Word of God. The Bible says, they straightway left their nets. There was no, as you read these stories, there is no perceptible duration of time between the command of Christ and the response of the disciples. So immediately, promptly, directly, swiftly, without hesitation, without question, at once, on the spot, then and there, at the master's call, what did they do? They left their nets and followed Jesus. It is one of the marks of our Savior's authority and power that when he commanded, what did men do? They obeyed. Your memories will help you recall the many instances in which persons and even non-person things instantly obeyed Christ when he gave the word of command. Satan and legions of evil angels gave way to the command of Christ. Diseases of every kind gave way to the command of Christ. And even the wind and the waves, inanimate things, which usually seem to be lawless and wild, always gave heed to the law which issued from his lips. When he spoke, it was done, for his word was with power. And so the call of Christ came to some honest and hardworking fishermen. When Peter and Andrew and James and John heard the call, their attitude and their response was simple and swift. What are we standing here for? Let's go. And off they went. Not in a hesitant or crooked or roundabout way, but what? Straight way. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for the privilege that you have given us to share your love in this community. And Father, we ask that you would continue to teach us and lead us according to your good will. Help us to understand what you would have us to do. And then, Father, fill us with your Spirit that we would do it according to your will, straightway. Oh, Father, keep us to this. We ask in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. And let all the church say, amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.